Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part two of God, Seldom Early, Never Late. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so Abraham, a father of many nations, verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now note this, this is the fourth time that God has said to Abraham that he would give him and his descendants the land of Canaan. Now, we're going to find this promise repeated over and over again because this is an essential element of the covenant. So when the covenant is made with Isaac, this will be repeated. When the covenant is made with Jacob, this will be repeated as well. God has said over and over and over again that he would give the land of Canaan to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to the children of Jacob. Now, in our day, we can understand, I think, why it is that God said the same thing so many times over. Because we're living in a time when most nations, most governments refuse to recognize the right of the Jewish people to the land of Canaan. But so once again, the fourth time, he repeats to Abraham that the land is an essential part of the covenant. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now remember, God has already established the covenant with Abraham. Remember, we saw how the sacrificial animals, how they were separated, and God alone passed through sealing a covenant with Abraham. But now God is giving to Abraham and his descendants, he's giving them a sign, an outward sign of the covenant, and it's a sign that is going to be marked upon their bodies. Now, you have to admit that this is kind of a weird sign. Why circumcision? Why is this the sign that God chose? But you see, the lesson and the statement that was being made with circumcision. Now, if you think about it, just in the sense that, of course, this part of the body, this part of the anatomy, this is the part of the body from which life stems. And what circumcision is really expressing is that all life from this point on, life in this covenant, is to be a different kind of life. Life in this covenant is going to be a life that is marked by a cutting away of the old, sinful life and living a new life, a predominantly spiritual life. And so that was the message behind the covenant. Now, of course, as we read here, circumcision was to occur when a male child was 8 days old. So this was really something that each individual Jewish boy and man, this was something in their own bodies that would remind them constantly of the covenant with God and the intention of God in that covenant to have a holy people, to have a people who were not living for the things of the flesh, but a people who were living a new life, a spiritual life. Now, when we come to the New Testament, although circumcision in the physical sense was and always has been, as far as, you know, spiritually speaking, a Jewish rite, Paul speaks of us, believers in Jesus, as having also gone through a form of circumcision. But listen to what he says. He says, in him you were circumcised, in Christ, you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. And now he explains that. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So, you see, what Paul tells us about circumcision in Colossians really kind of gives us an understanding of what God's intended purpose for the children of Abraham was with it. That it would be symbolic of the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. And so in Christ, that's what's happened to us. We have gone through this spiritual circumcision, so to speak. Now, it's interesting that although this rite, you know, was performed upon every Jewish male child, there comes a time in the history of Israel where God, he's talking about the judgment that he's going to bring on the different nations through Jeremiah. And he says also, included in those nations that are going to be judged, he says, Judah is going to be judged. And all of the nations that he's talking about judging, he kind of lists some of the sins that they're involved in. And then he always adds, because they are uncircumcised. When he comes to Judah, he talks about the sins, he talks about the judgment, and he says about them, because they are uncircumcised in heart. You see, the men of Judah were circumcised physically, but they were not circumcised in their heart. And the physical rite was just a symbol. God's intention was the physical rite was a symbol that would indicate what had transpired internally. So this is the sign of the covenant that God has given to Abraham and to his descendants. Now, in verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. In each of these name changes, the Lord is sort of tacking on his own name to theirs. Most of the biblical names that we read, Elijah, Adonijah, that's the name of God, Yahweh, is being attached onto it. So Sarah, so again, God is combining their names with his name. And so her name is changed from Sarai to Sarah, which means actually princess. And again, the idea is that she is going to be the mother of kings. And so I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. You know, I think that Abram should have figured out all the way along that God was going to give him a descendant through Sarah. She was his wife. But again, losing faith a little bit, being impatient, it took Hagar. But now God makes it crystal clear. You know, obviously you didn't get it before. Let me tell you, you know, straight up, you're going to have a son with Sarah. And so here now, the promise is becoming even more clear. You know, there is such a thing as progressive revelation. Progressive revelation means that God reveals things to us through a process of time. And of course, the Bible is a great example of progressive revelation. But this is even the case in our lives. Many times the Lord will show us, you know, sort of the first couple of steps maybe, and he doesn't show us anything beyond that. And we move out, we take those first couple of steps, and sometimes we end up waiting for a while and wondering, well, what happened? And then the Lord comes through and he speaks again, and he gives us a little more clarity on where we're to go and what we're to do. It's progressive. And so we see here with Abraham, it's a progressive revelation. Now it's becoming clear. It's to be Sarah. She is to have a child. But listen to this, verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? I mean, Abraham, he thought this was hilarious. Lord, you're kidding. Now, there's a lesson in this. And the lesson is this. God will often wait until the situation from the human standpoint is completely impossible before he acts. Now, this is where things can get really frustrating on this end for us. But if we kind of get that in our heads, that that's, you know, tends to be the way God works, it'll help us through sometimes those long seasons of waiting. You know, it was Amy Carmichael who said, God is seldom early, but he's never late. I think that, in my experience, that's been true. He's seldom early, but he's never late. God knows what he's doing, and he's got the perfect timing. And what he does quite often is he allows every human resource to be exhausted. He allows it all to come to a place where it's just from the human standpoint utterly impossible, so that when he does what he's going to do, there's no question in anybody's mind about who did it. You see, at this point, there's no question. There's not going to be any question in their minds as to whether Isaac, you know, this child, you know, well, what, maybe this was just an accident. I don't know, maybe just, you know, no, it's an impossibility at this time. They've come to the point of the situation being impossible. But as we've heard before, man's extremities are God's opportunities. And when you come to the end of yourself, you come to the beginning of God. Those are truth statements. And that's really part of what we see here. They've come to the place where now Abraham just thinks, you're kidding, Lord. You know, now think about it. 25 years have passed since the promise was originally given. And with each passing year, with each passing decade, you could imagine that, you know, just thinking, oh, how is this ever going to happen? And we find ourselves sometimes in those kinds of things. Lord, how is this ever going to happen? It just doesn't seem like it's ever going to work out. And the situation seems to go from bad to worse, and it goes from manageable to not so manageable to completely unmanageable to absolutely impossible. And then we think we're sunk. And that's the very moment when God comes through. Don't stop trusting the Lord, even though the situation looks impossible from a human standpoint. If there's a lesson, there's many lessons here, but if there's one lesson, that's certainly one. Don't stop trusting. And maybe to you, it just looks impossible. How is this ever going to sort out? How is this ever going to be resolved? And you know, here's the thing. What happens a lot of times is we give up waiting and we try to take things into our own hands, and then we just, again, we create unnecessary problems for ourselves. Remember God's mild rebuke. I am God Almighty. God can do it. And he's committed to us, and he's committed to working out his plan in our lives, and he will often bring us to this place. I was reading the story of Gideon yesterday. And I'd never thought about it like this before. But remember, Gideon started out with 32,000 men and he ended up with 300. His army was reduced by 99%. I mean, you know, talk about an impossible situation. But why did God reduce it to that level? He said, you know, I can't give Israel a victory with any more than 300, because if I do, they'll think they did it themselves. So I'm going to make it so utterly absurd that everybody's going to know that God did this. And this is what sometimes he's doing with us too. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. Walk before me and be blameless. Just keep walking. Just keep trusting. And you know, it's true. We've seen people over the years, you know, depending on God, believing God, trusting God, walking with God. But you know, it doesn't seem to ever work out. And you know, then they start reconsidering. They start thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe I got to step out on my own and make this happen. And sometimes people have even walked away from the Lord because of disappointment, and they were let down, and God didn't come through for me. Look, God will come through for you. God will always come through. That's just the way it is. But when we're waiting, we're not waiting idly. We're not waiting doing nothing. We're walking before him and being blameless. We've got our own relationship with God to cultivate and to work on, and as we wait for those other things. You know, last week I talked about, you know, being single and wanting to get married and that. And, you know, that's, of course, a good thing, and it's understandable. But look, if you're not married and you're single and God hasn't brought somebody along, just take advantage of the opportunity to cultivate the relationship with the Lord. And know that in his time, and somebody would say, oh, well, I've heard that so many times. I've been waiting. You don't know how long I've been waiting. No, I don't. But God's seldom early, but he's never late. He's right on time. And the appointed time for Abraham and Sarah was when he was 100 and she was 90. But listen to this. This is where it gets really fascinating to me. So God tells Abraham this. He laughs. He can't believe it. And listen, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, Lord, you know, that's great. That's wonderful that you want to do this for us. But Lord, you know, we're old now. We don't need this. We've got Ishmael already. Why don't we just have him be the promise seed? But listen to what God said. Then God said, no. I love it. Simple as that. No. No further discussion. Oh, I know, Abraham, it sounds like this would be so much easier. You've already got a son. He's already come of age. He's 13 years old. We can just get on down the road with the fulfillment of the promises. But no, that's not the way it's going to happen. We talked, remember, about these Ishmaels, about these times when we're trying to help out God and we end up, you know, producing these kinds of things, and we bring them to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, no, just use this. And the Lord looks at it and says, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what I'm doing. God says, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Laughter. Isaac means laughter. You shall call his name Laughter. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Wow, it's happening. It's finally coming to pass. All that God had promised 25 years earlier, it's now going to happen. A lot of waiting, a lot of just being faithful in the mundane things, but God's coming through. Now, I think it's interesting with Ishmael. You know, the Lord says, I've heard you in regard to Ishmael, and I'm going to bless him. And, you know, you can do stuff in the energy of the flesh that, you know, seems to produce some amount of fruit. But what you really want to wait for, and what you want to pray for, and what you want to always be looking for is that thing that God has his covenant with, so to speak. God says, yeah, I'll bless Ishmael, because he's your descendant, and I know you care for him, and I care for him too. But my covenant is with Isaac. See, there's something unique with Isaac. There's something special. With Isaac, there's a covenant. And when I think about that in terms of ministry, I think about, you know, those things that God, he raises those things up. It's not that we created something and brought it to God and said, okay, Lord, now here it is, you use this. But rather it's something that he raises up, and you can sense that, you know, his covenant, so to speak, is with that thing because it's abundantly fruitful. God's blessing it, and it's an abundant blessing. So Ishmael, he'll be blessed, but my covenant is with Isaac. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. The very same day Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. And so Abraham has now submitted to the command of God. And now within his own body, there is now the seal of the covenant, the constant reminder of his separation to God and for God. And so with us, being in Christ, having been circumcised through the operation of Christ, having been baptized and leaving behind the old and rising up in the newness of life, God says to us, walk before me and be blameless. And by his grace and through his spirit, we can do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great lessons from the lives of your saints and from the life of Abraham, Lord, just to be able to study and to learn and receive the things that you would speak to us through his life. Help us, Lord, to keep trusting you, even though the circumstances maybe are telling us that it's hopeless and the situation seems so impossible. Lord, we know that with you, all things are possible. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you, Lord, that those who wait upon you will never be put to shame, will never be disappointed. So help us, Lord, like Abraham, to learn that lesson of waiting. Help us not to get impatient or frustrated and try to help you out and produce an Ishmael here or there. But Lord, we want the covenant blessing. We want the Isaacs in our life. So, Lord, here we are. Work in us and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Abraham the Intercessor. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled God, Seldom Early, Never Late. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0030. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.